This is your operating system talking, not your computers or your phones, but your internal human operating system. I'm feeling a little overloaded. Here's how you can ease my stress. Close your eyes or softly gaze at something in front of you. Now inhale for 4 counts, exhale for 6. Keep repeating. Much better. Longer term, there's BetterHelp Online Therapy. They'll match us with a licensed therapist we can connect with via video, phone, or chat. Visit betterhelp.com/positive and save 10% on our first month. If you're feeling down and having trouble getting up in the morning, here's a tip. Brush your teeth. That's it. Often when we wake up, our brains go into planning mode, which leads to overthinking and stress before our head even leaves the pillow. Something simple like brushing your teeth can break that cycle and jumpstart your day. This tip was brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy, which connects you with a licensed therapist via video, phone, or online chat. Visit betterhelp.com/positive and save 10% on your first month.
Hey, hey, happy Monday. Was it a happy Monday? I hope it was. Every now and then, if we get a happy Monday, it's like the value of, say, 4 Fridays. I know, I'm trying to sell it here. I have no idea if you're buying what I'm selling. But because we typically expect Monday, at least I do, expect Monday to smack us hard right in the noggin, it's good when it's a positive Monday with maybe some good news, or it went quickly, or didn't hurt nearly as much as we expected. I'll tell you what, the Green Bay Packers fans who were still stumbling around the streets late last night, they definitely were feeling the Monday mortification. But if you got through your Monday without any major blow-ups, without any major snafus, and without being hungover, then I feel like that might be a success story for you and for me. I slept a few hours. I wouldn't say I feel like a new woman, but at least I am upright and my voice is working. I haven't lost my voice, which is good considering what I've been doing the last few days and how sporadic my sleep has been. But it's the last show from Green Bay, so I've got to give it everything I've got. We're at 107.5 The Fan in Green Bay, and I am the only person in the entire building. And no, it's not scary or creepy at all. What was really cool, I'll say this about the Green Bay affiliate. It's at the end of a side street, and on two sides, kind of behind and around to the right of the building, there is a field, undeveloped lots or something, but it's wide open space. And there's only one bright light on the front of the building. I had to walk around to the side to use the code they gave me to enter through the side door. So as I parked the car. My uncle let me borrow his vehicle, and I started to walk around the side of the building away from the light. I look up. It's a clear night, and the sky is full, and I mean full of dazzling stars. Really beautiful. We see more skyscrapers in Lower Manhattan than we do stars, though I get a fair number of stars in my neighborhood, New Jersey. But the entire sky is wide open here at the Green Bay affiliate, and it was a really nice treat to be able to see those stars before I walked inside. So super cool. Love the location here. I even said to producer Jay, man, I wish I could do this commute every night. But then I realized I am happy with the life that I've got, and I have chosen to stay in that job, and it's been good for my career, not to mention I love my little New Jersey neighborhood and my house and my pets, who I will get back to on Tuesday afternoon. It's odd. I'm upside down. I've been awake days. I've been awake nights. I don't really know what day or date it is. And I feel like I have about, I don't know, 30 text messages and probably half a dozen emails to answer. And they're just going to have to wait until I recover. So I told my mom, because once I get off the air in the morning, I'm going straight to the airport and flying back. And then once I get home, it's about getting ready for the rest of the week and taking care of Penster. And so I said to my mom, if I can just get through the next 36 hours, if I can make it to Wednesday morning, I will feel like I've survived the gauntlet, the adversity, you know. We have to suffer sometimes. We have to sacrifice sometimes for what we love. And I needed to be here. I am glad that I was able to do a couple shows on the road for the first time in years. And even though this show is not done yet, I'm going to declare this trip a smashing success. So see, Monday, success. We're already ahead of the game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I know some of you were still checking out the pictures that I posted from my afternoon and evening at Lambeau Field. And I, again, appreciate all the kind words about my Grammy. I do have one kind of cute story to share about Monday with my uncle and aunt. And they had saved a bunch of boxes of my grandmother's things for me to go through. So I'll share that coming up a little bit later on. But we've got some football to get to. So again, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, our poll asking you who was the most mortified on Monday following week two Sunday of the NFL season. That poll is still live, so check it out on either of our social media sites. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. We want to dive right in because now that we're through two full weeks of the NFL season, I don't know if you've noticed, there are only a handful of teams that are 2-0, and there aren't any super dominant teams that are 2-0 outside of Orchard Park, New York. And man, what a display, what a domination against the visiting Titans on Monday evening.
Josh takes a snap, play action, short pass caught by Reggie Gilliam, dodges one tackle, still on his feet, at the 10, at the 5, headed into the end zone, touchdown Buffalo! Touchdown Reggie Gilliam! He fought off two tackles and fought his way into the end zone. The Bills are on the board. Takes the snap, fakes the handoff. Josh rolling to his left, looks back, throws the other way to his right. It is caught in the end zone. Touchdown Buffalo! Stephon Diggs. Touchdown Buffalo! Tannehill takes his time, waiting for the snap. There it is. Back to throw. Pocket collapsing. He's going to be dumped. He is sacked back at the 28-yard line. Ryan Tannehill paid the price back at the 29-yard line. Josh will take another shotgun snap. Takes, fakes a handoff, going to throw it. Looks downfield, fires downfield, looking for Diggs inside the 5. Dives for it, makes the catch, and it is caught. Touchdown Buffalo. Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs. Touchdown Bills. A 46-yard completion.
On Bills Radio, John Murphy, this was hit him hard, hit him often, hit him fast, keep hitting him. So it was only, I'm using my air quotations, although that's actually fairly, considering the bulk of the game, that's fairly mild. It was only a 10-point game at the half. Buffalo was up 17-7 at the break, but already had nearly 250 yards of offense, not even 100 for the Tennessee Titans. And so the Bills' offense was already cooking, even though, get this, and maybe this is part of the reason why, more time to prepare. They had first played on kickoff night, so season opener against the Rams, on the Thursday prior to this last one. So they've been off for almost 12 days in between games. To be able to start that way is pretty remarkable. Not only do you have extra time to prepare, but whatever bumps and bruises you had, well, they've completely healed up. So they were looking fresh, and they were looking electric, and no doubt got a major boost from the raucous crowd there at Orchard Park. The defense holding Derrick Henry to just a dozen yards in the first half. So he was looking for room to run, but wasn't finding a whole lot. And the way that Buffalo started the half and then finished the half, it's, again, it's punch them in the gut early and then make sure they have something to talk about when they get into the post-game locker room. It's demoralizing for an opponent to give up two long touchdown drives of 75 yards or more at the beginning of a half right off the bat that whips the crowd into a frenzy, and then again at the end of a half just before you head into the locker room. Now, there was a scary moment in that final minute just before halftime when Dane Jackson, the cornerback for the Bills, was hit in a helmet-to-helmet collision by his own teammate. Obviously accidental. His teammate was coming in to make a tackle. The ball carrier, I don't remember who it was down on the ground lower, and his teammate went right into Dane's helmet with his own helmet. Thankfully, by the time Dane got to the hospital, they were running x-rays and further tests, and he did have full movement of all of his limbs and extremities. So that was great news that we got early in the second half. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The rout continued early in the second half. Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs with a 50 yards through the air. I know the touchdown itself was 46 yards officially, but if you go back and you watch the play, Josh dropped back, and by the time he launched that football, it was a laser, by the way. By the time he launched that football, he was well beyond midfield. And so we're talking 50 yards through the air. That was the second TD catch for Stephon. And there was a third one after a Ryan Tannehill interception on a ball that was tipped multiple times and hauled in by Jordan Poyer, first team All-Pro last season. So the Bills didn't even need Josh Allen in the fourth quarter. Instead, they were able to use Case Keenum, and the Titans, they waved the white flag after the dagger pick six by Matt Milano. So it was really offense first and often, and making that statement and wearing out the Titans D as much as possible. And there's so many good options for the Bills. There's so many different ways that they can hurt you. And then follow it up with that defense that maybe doesn't get top billing, but the Buffalo defense is no slouch either.
Second and 13. Titans have it back at their 38-yard line. Tannehill takes, looks, guns it downfield. Picked off. Intercepted at the 45-yard line. Picked off by Matt Milano. Headed to the end zone. He is in. Touchdown, Buffalo. Matt Milano. Touchdown, Buffalo. They are rolling him now.
They're rolling in a lot of ways, and I'm assuming there was more table surfing or attempts to table surf in the parking lot following this win. Again, John Murphy on Bills Radio. So the Bills moved to 2-0, and they have been two dominant performances by Buffalo. And if you're Josh Allen, you had that incredible start to the season against the Rams when he only missed five passes in that first game. Okay, so he missed a few more, and actually had a couple of uncharacteristic ones that almost seemed like he didn't have a good grip on the football, but he still goes 26 of 38, 317 yards, and four touchdowns without playing the fourth quarter. So it was offense with Josh directing. It was defense, Von Miller, the two of them. I mean, they're pretty smart and experienced leaders.
You know, that's a good team that we just played. You know, having a long week to prepare. You know, we had a good game plan going in. Dorsey trusted what he was calling. We went out there and executed on offense. Defense made some huge stops, some huge plays, gave us some short fields. Good complimentary team win tonight. So, but anytime you beat a good team, it's hard to win this league. So we'll enjoy this one and turn our focus to the Dolphins tomorrow. It's week two. It was the most important week for us since it was the next one. So like I said, we'll enjoy it, but turn our focus towards the Dolphins tomorrow, and that'll be the biggest game for us because it's the next one.
We just played our style of defense. We had so much respect for Derek and that whole offense, that whole run game, that whole passing game for Ryan Tannehill, that we really didn't, you know, leave any T uncrossed or any I undotted. Coach Frazier, Coach Washington, Coach McDermott did a really good job of keeping everybody focused for this game.
So it was a dominant 41-7 performance for the Buffalo Bills as they remain perfect on the season. As for the Titans, man, this was a completely different loss than the one against the New York Giants. I'm not sure which one stings more, but four turnovers by the Titans, and Malik Willis made his NFL debut in the fourth quarter. So for Mike Vrabel, for Ryan Tannehill, oy, this one stings.
You know, in this league, nobody's going to feel sorry for you. We understand that. We don't expect that. We don't want anybody to. We have to get things fixed. We have to figure out how to win a game, get back home, and get back to work. We got our asses kicked, plain and simple. They outcoached us. They outplayed us. And that's the definition of it. And so we're going to get back to work, and we're going to figure out a way to win a football game.
This one's tough to swallow, but we can't sit around and you know, have the woe is me attitude. They believe in each other. we're two games into a long season. Obviously, not the start we want, not the start we expected, but a lot of football out in front of us and a lot of confidence that we're going to get this thing going in the right direction.
So you hear Mike Vrabel and Ryan Tannehill, and as I say, they're 0-2, and the losses have been completely different. They've felt different. They've looked different, but 0-2 is 0-2. I appreciate that in pro sports, you are what your record says you are. Now, there are some teams out there that are 2-0 that I don't think have put up dominant performances. For instance, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're 2-0, but they've only got two offensive touchdowns in 2 weeks. So we'll look at the standings as we get some time over the course of this show. But straight ahead, really excited to welcome Ross Tucker, who was on the call of the Bills Titans for Westwood One and is driving through the night to get home. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Thanks for hanging out with us. I'm in Green Bay at 107.5 The Fan for a few more hours before I head home. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This is your operating system talking, not your computers or your phones, but your internal human operating system. I'm feeling a little overloaded. Here's how you can ease my stress. Close your eyes or softly gaze at something in front of you. Now inhale for 4 counts. Exhale for 6. Keep repeating. Much better. Longer term, there's BetterHelp Online Therapy. They'll match us with a licensed therapist we can connect with via video, phone, or chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on our first month. This is your operating system talking, not your computers or your phones, but your internal human operating system. I'm feeling a little overloaded. Here's how you can ease my stress. Close your eyes or softly gaze at something in front of you. Now inhale for 4 counts, exhale for 6. Keep repeating. Much better. Longer term, there's BetterHelp Online Therapy. They'll match us with a licensed therapist we can connect with via video, phone, or chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on our first month. This is your operating system talking, not your computers or your phones, but your internal human operating system. I'm feeling a little overloaded. Here's how you can ease my stress. Close your eyes or softly gaze at something in front of you. Now inhale for 4 counts, exhale for 6. Keep repeating. Much better. Longer term, there's BetterHelp Online Therapy. They'll match us with a licensed therapist we can connect with via video, phone, or chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on our first month.
Listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Zach Moss in the backfield. Allen zips it to Diggs on a slant. And it's a touchdown, Buffalo, his third of the night. Stephon Diggs took what was like a 90-mile-an-hour fastball off his shoulder pad just south of the Essen Bills. And into the end zone, it's 33-7, Buffalo.
Just like taking advantage of opportunities at this point. You know, I've been with Josh for a couple years now, as I said like a couple weeks ago. It's just, you know, try to fine-tune and trying to get better in all areas. So at this point, you know, that's 2 wins. Trying to get the next one.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Gaudy numbers for one Stephon Diggs in game number 2. A dozen catches, 148 yards, 3 touchdowns, and boom, if you have him on your fantasy team. Ryan Radke with the call of the 3rd touchdown there on Westwood One. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, and we're excited to welcome Ross Tucker, who is alongside Ryan doing this game on our Westwood One affiliates all around the country. Ross, the Bills, we've seen these first 2 games against defenses in Los Angeles and Tennessee who've had 0 answers for what Buffalo has thrown at them. Not perfect, of course, but what stands out about what you saw from the Bills tonight?
You know, a couple things. Let's start with the fact that these are not terrible teams that they're dominating, Amy. You know, this is the defending Super Bowl champion on the road, and even though they had a number of turnovers, they still won by 21 in the opener. And then tonight against the AFC number one seed last year, it's the 3rd quarter and both teams had their backup quarterbacks in. It was 41-7 I just think you don't see that very often in the NFL, those type of scores, that type of domination. It's super, super impressive. And it's not just Josh Allen, although he's fantastic. You know, they showed they can do it on defense as well, getting a couple interceptions from Ryan Tannehill, a pick six. They just have a very well-rounded deep roster. And, you know, a lot of times in life you have high expectations and things don't meet them. So far, the Bills have not only met those expectations, they probably exceeded them.
The connection between Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs took a little while to develop, but now that it's entrenched, when you think about some of the more dangerous and valuable, productive combinations around the league, this one has got to be right up there with the way that Josh finds him and the way that Stephon knows, you know, what Josh is going to do with that football.
Yeah, and if you think about it, with Tyreek Hill leaving Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City and Devontae Adams leaving Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, I'm not sure there's a better one out there. I'm not sure there's a better quarterback-receiver combo than Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs right now. I mean, they were masterful tonight in every way. It felt like it was just easy for them out there.
So then what do you do? If you're a defense, how do you begin to disrupt their rhythm or get to Josh Allen to force him into situations where he's not comfortable?
Well, what I think people want to do is they want to play two deep safeties and force the Bills to either run the ball or throw the ball underneath, especially when the Bills have Gabe Davis, who didn't play tonight. That's what they want to do. But, you know, the difference between the Bills this year and other years, I think, is Josh Allen is way more comfortable being patient, and he's very natural getting the ball out of his hands quickly. You know, I don't know that I ever thought he'd be the type of quarterback that just spraying the ball around. I think their first touchdown drive, it was six different receivers, which is amazing.
Right.
And he's doing it super, super quickly, getting rid of the ball, which is always, in my mind, a great sign for a quarterback that knows what the heck they're doing.
Well, I was at Lambeau on Sunday night, and there were 78,000 plus at the stadium, and it was loud, at least for that second quarter, and then for the goal line stand later in the second half. I know you've been in stadiums all over the place. How do the fans, table surfing notwithstanding, and the noise compare to what else you hear around the league?
That's a great question, and I would say for outdoor stadiums, it's up there. Yeah, I don't know if it's quite Arrowhead or Seattle, but those people, I was amazed how many of them were still there in the fourth quarter cheering on their team. They're obviously so excited. Having played there for a number of years, I have an affinity for those people and Bills fans, and it's a tough place to play. There was no doubt in my mind that the defense, the whole team, but the defense in particular, really fed off their energy tonight.
Ross Tucker is fresh off the Westwood One call of Bills over Titans. By the third quarter, this one was done. The dagger being the pick six by Matt Milano that really settled it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So, Ross, I got to ask you about a post I saw on your Twitter. And I know that you have extra insight. You're an expert when it comes to these things. But Bills versus Eagles Super Bowl confirmed? Really? After 2 weeks? Are you're good with that?
Yeah, well, you know, those are the two teams that I kind of have a thing for, you know. the Bills were the team that I had the best experience with as a player and I enjoyed the most, and they've never won it. And then, obviously, I grew up outside of Philadelphia. I do the Eagles preseason games on TV. Most of the time, I do their pregame on the radio unless I have another game. So, you know, I'm just having some fun. Although, right now, you know, I'm not sure. I certainly wouldn't pick anyone over the Bills in the AFC. And I'm not really sure how many I would pick over the Eagles in the NFC right now. I think there's a decent, you know, there's some percentage chance that actually happens. Obviously, it's really early, and it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. But that's what's fun. It's fun to say something like that and get all the Eagles and Bills fans excited and the fans of the other teams all upset as if I'm, like, totally serious.
So then the Eagles collect more than 300 yards just courtesy of Jalen Hurts in their first half against the Vikings. This is a Vikings team that made the Packers look like they were completely and utterly unprepared for the start of the season, but the Eagles turned the tables on them. I know that this is not the game that you were working, but from what you've seen of the Eagles so far, why are they so dangerous?
Well, you know, similarly to the Bills, they just have a really good roster. I mean, the only real question for the Philadelphia Eagles right now is probably their quarterback, and Jalen Hurts just played the best game of his career. You know, so if your biggest question, the guy just went, whatever it was, 26-31, you know, passing touchdown, a couple rushing touchdowns in prime time, you know, in a big spot, that just bodes extremely well. I do a lot of talk radio in Philadelphia, and the main two questions all off season and certainly even after week one are Jalen Hurts, the quarterback, and Jonathan Gannon, the defensive coordinator, and I'm not sure either one of them could have had a much better night. You know, they really held the Vikings in check. Three interceptions of Cousins, 7 points, and then obviously, as discussed, Hurts had the game of his life. And it's not just the stats, and we know he can run. It's the ball placement. It's how fast the ball's coming out. It's him not making critical errors. It's him seemingly being in total control. It was a really impressive performance by Hurts that if that continues, I think my tweet has a real good chance of happening.
Well, then why the questions about him, Ross? What are the questions about Jalen?
I think the biggest question is just consistency, throwing the ball from the pocket with accuracy, right? Everybody knows he can run. Everybody knows he can throw on the move. The question will be, you know, how fast is he getting the ball out? And can he consistently make the throws that are necessary in the small windows on second, third, and long, those type of situations? And so far this year, he's really been up to the task. Probably did it more with his legs against the Lions, but part of that's because they were blitzing, and he made a number of tremendous throws to A.J. Brown against Detroit. And then tonight, it was more to Devontae Smith, but he spread it around pretty well. I mean, he's 2 for 2. You know, every week is sort of a referendum on whether or not he's the long-term answer in Philadelphia, whether or not they're going to give him a new contract. And out of the 17 regular season chances he'll get, he's definitely 2 for 2.
Ross Tucker is a former NFL offensive lineman who was part of the Westwood One broadcast of Bills and Titans, and you'll catch him on CBS Sports as well as on Eagles pregame, too. Let me ask you this. We put a poll up, and it's getting a ton of traffic, as you can imagine, because misery loves company among NFL fans. We asked which fan base or which team should be the most mortified on Monday following its performance on Sunday week 2. Now, we gave the fans options of the Colts, who got skunked by the Jaguars, the Browns, who gave up a 2-touchdown lead in 2 minutes and lost to the Jets, the Raiders, who lose in overtime at home to the Cardinals despite having a 3-touchdown lead, and then the Ravens, who give up 6 touchdowns to Tua, including 4 in the fourth quarter. Which team should be most mortified as they wrap week 2 and look ahead to week 3?
It's the Colts. You know, the other 3 teams, obviously, you're extremely disappointed with the critical errors they made late in those games to lose those games. But at least they've been in the games. At least Cleveland and Baltimore has wins, and they're right there in the mix in the AFC North. If you're a Colts fan right now, I mean, you're really questioning a lot of things. You're questioning Matt Ryan. You're questioning Frank Reich. You might even be questioning the general manager. I mean, there's a lot of thoughts going through your head if you're a Colts fan after they were very, very, fortunate to come back and tie the Texans and then 24-0 to the Jaguars.
Ew.
Rough. Absolutely rough.
Yes, for sure. All right, before we let you go, Ross, what's one other NFL headline, storyline, maybe a particular game that is burning a hole in your pocket or something like that that's sticking with you after week number two?
Honestly, I think it's Nathaniel Hackett, Amy. I know they won the game against the Texans, but it might be the worst two-game start for a head coach that I can recall.
Man.
You know, I mean, they got the home crowd calling out the play clock so that you don't get more delay games or waste more timeouts. The play calling on the goal line and short yardage. I mean, you want to talk about abysmal. It is real, real bad for Nathaniel Hackett. And, okay, you know, maybe they'll improve, whatever. I guess my question would be, what are the odds a guy that looks this inept to start his career, what are the odds he becomes a really good coach? I mean, he might end up becoming okay, but it seems hard in my mind to start out absolutely dreadful and get to the point where people think you're an excellent coach. I mean, it could be one and done for Nathaniel Hackett because this ownership group isn't even the ones that hired him.
True. Good point. Although it blows me away. He was an offensive coordinator for years in the league. It's not like he just got into the NFL yesterday. I don't understand how you – is it just that much of a jarring leap to be the one who's actually in charge of everything?
It's a totally different job. You know, all he's ever had to care about was calling the play or designing the offense. He's never had to be the game management guy or the clock manager. And he's obviously overwhelmed. Whatever processes he's put in place clearly aren't good enough. And it's honestly, I have buddies that are Broncos fans. It's embarrassing. I mean, it was legitimately embarrassing these first two games. I guess the good news is they won a game and it can only get better from here.
Yeah. All right, you take that and you run with it. Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, fresh off of Monday Night Football in Orchard Park for Westwood One. But he's also part of Eagles pregame. We get him on Odyssey, our family of stations every now and then. You want to find him on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL or RossTucker.com for his various ventures. It's always good to catch up with you. Thank you so much for a couple minutes.
My pleasure, Amy. Thank you so much for having me. You know I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you, Ross. That's very kind. Ross has got his finger in a lot of different ventures and adventures. And so whenever we can snag a couple minutes, it's a good night. And his sense of humor is probably one of my favorite things about his appearances on Westwood One, though I should quickly clarify, please forgive me for this. Ryan Radke was not doing the Monday night game. He did Sunday night. This was Tom McCarthy doing the Monday night game. As soon as I said that, there was this alarm that went off in my head. So I apologize to Tom and everyone who loves him. But mostly, I just can't stand being wrong. It annoys me. So I'm sorry. All right. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you want to take that Monday mortification poll, it is still up. It is still live for a little bit longer. Before this show is done, we will have your candidates for TD of the week. But straight ahead, we talked about it a bit with Ross, the Eagles victory. Jalen Hurts crushed it and crushed his opponent, his opponents, all the defenders who are trying to keep track of him. The Vikings had no answer. So you hear the Eagles and the Vikings coming up next. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
If you're feeling down and having trouble getting up in the morning, here's a tip. Brush your teeth. That's it. Often when we wake up, our brains go into planning mode, which leads to overthinking and stress before our head even leaves the pillow. Something simple like brushing your teeth can break that cycle and jumpstart your day. This tip was brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy, which connects you with a licensed therapist via video, phone, or online chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on your first month. If you're feeling down and having trouble getting up in the morning, here's a tip. Brush your teeth. That's it. Often when we wake up, our brains go into planning mode, which leads to overthinking and stress before our head even leaves the pillow. Something simple like brushing your teeth can break that cycle and jumpstart your day. This tip was brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy, which connects you with a licensed therapist via video, phone, or online chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on your first month.
You're the one who protects the flock, and that requires an eye for detail. Because when safety and well-being are on the line, it's the details that can save lives. Even when no one else is watching, you see everything. Grainger gets you, and we're here for you, and all the ones who get it done with a wide range of safety products and solutions, plus board-certified safety consultants here to answer your questions. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Hurts fakes, dives, plunges, and he's in for the touchdown. He faked to Sanders, kept the ball, wiggled through three people, and scored the first touchdown of the game. It's second down and eight. This time, he's back again. He's looking. He is going deep for Quez Watkins, who has it, goes in for the touchdown. The strike to Quez Watkins. He hit him in stride for 53 yards. Hurts gives it off, and he runs with the football and keeps it and takes it across the five and rolls down to the two. And is he in? Yes!
He is.
Touchdown, Jalen Hurts.
That's magic.
A great fake to Sanders, and then he kept it and ran around the right end and took it 26 yards for a touchdown.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Second half of the Monday Night Football doubleheader features the Vikings and the Eagles, and we had talked about this a bunch on our Sunday night show, specifically as it pertained to the NFC North. If the Vikings could win, they would have sole possession of first place at 2-0. But as it turns out, we've got entire divisions that every four team is sitting at 1-1. It's pretty crazy, the competitive balance, although at times, I'm not sure you could call it competitive. I mean, think about the two games we just witnessed on this Monday night. They weren't so competitive, and there have been teams who've shown us the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde split personality in these first 2 weeks. So once we have some opportunities to kind of breathe in the first 2 weeks and look at the standings, it's pretty interesting to kind of survey the landscape and recognize that no team right now is ready to win a championship. Now, you've got one or two teams who've put on dominant performances, but for the most part, there are still many flaws, and in some cases, fatal flaws, but that's the point of a regular season. Though the Bills have looked spectacular, and the Eagles have also shown that the work they did in the offseason to put a roster together is paying dividends. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Merrill Reese and company on Eagles Radio. And it was Jalen Hurts early. It was Jalen Hurts often. Maybe a little gamesmanship. I don't know if he was paying attention to what was happening in Orchard Park. Probably not, unless it was just the first quarter. However, it was almost this idea of one upping the other quarterback. If you were going back and forth between the two games, those were the prominent themes, right? The quarterbacks and the ability to create and to extend plays. Now, Josh Allen didn't see a ton of pressure from the Titans, but the way that he was able to pick apart the defense with multiple options. As for Jalen Hurts, you could kind of see the same thing. Now, we know he's got an increased receiving core, obviously a very capable tight end in Dallas Goedert. But what Jalen Hurts has that also can be deadly for defenses is the speed and the lateral movement, the quickness, and the field vision to be able to move around and take off. In some cases, go 30 yards for a touchdown, just kind of running around the right end. The man is very creative, to be sure. So the Vikings were already in a 21-7 hole at halftime because of major chunk plays. And you hear them on Eagles radio. Jalen Hurts to Quez Watkins for 53 yards. And then Jalen goes 26 yards around the right end for his second touchdown. I don't know why this was happening, but it certainly seemed like the Vikings were leaving the Philly wide receivers wide open. I don't think that's what it means when they call them wide receivers. They're not supposed to be wide receivers who are wide open, but that's the case. Almost as though they were afraid to play up too close in case they got burned or in case these receivers got behind them. I'm not sure, but it was some interesting coverage, to put it mildly. And so you have the 300-plus yards from Jalen Hurts in the first half alone. And really, then, it was the Eagles' defense that picked up the torch and ran with it.
Cousins in the gun. Eagles leading 24-7. Back goes Cousins again. He is firing, and it's intercepted! It's intercepted! It's Slay across the 15, and big play Slay takes it to the 19. Breaks out his wide receivers. Third goal from the 9. Cousins is back. Here comes the rush. He throws it high in the air, and it is intercepted! Third interception today. Now Slay drops it, but he's down. Yep. He made the interception.
Tonight, you know, we was on the other foot. We know we had out in our mindset to go out here and dominate and play this game with a lot of effort and a lot of talent. And guys was out there just executing their job, man. And that's what we do, man. Coach put us in a great position to win.
I don't know if you all saw the tweet from Jalen Hurts after the game. Hurts, comma, don't it, with a winking emoji. Hashtag fly Eagles fly. Darius Slay talking about the stingy second half by the Philly defense. There was an interception at the goal line from him. And I don't know if you all were kind of paying attention. I happen to be watching Paul Allen, Twitter. And Paul Allen put up a tweet that was an observation he made from being there in Philadelphia calling the game for Vikings radio, that Justin Jefferson recognized immediately that he'd broken off the route. He stopped the route. He didn't continue through. Not sure if it was a miscommunication or what, but because of that, when the ball was delivered to the goal line, you could blame Kirk Cousins if that's what you were looking at and say, hey, he threw the ball right to Darius Slay. He completely missed JJ. But in fact, JJ stopped running, stopped with the route, and wasn't where he was supposed to be. And Paul Allen tweeted that Justin went right over to Kirk immediately as soon as they got off the field and apologized for the fact that that was his fault and that he was not where he was supposed to be to catch that ball. So Darius Slay, right place, right time. And then even after the Vikings block a field goal and have great field goal or great field position, there's a second Cousins interception. This one was really on him by Avante Maddox. And at that point, 24-7, the final score. This was so lopsided. Philadelphia with 163 yards rushing. Meanwhile, Minnesota had 62 total, and Kirk Cousins had the most rushing yards. That is not what you want. That is not a recipe for success. So for Jalen Hurts, he's willing to spread the love and share the wealth after this win.
I can't perform without the other 10 on the field. And same on the other side, they need me to do my job for them to eat. So it's a collective group. It was a big team win, a big time team win. It's something that we'll definitely enjoy, but we have a short week and we're headed to D.C. So we'll enjoy it for a little bit and get ready for the next opponent.
Very, very difficult night. I put this one on me. I don't think I did enough for our team in game. And obviously, I think our plan, I did some things defensively. And just seemed to kind of push us to the point where we just needed to make that one or two plays on a drive to kind of get going and see if we could potentially finish and kind of capture that momentum. As a football team, although our defense and special teams with the block field goal, defense with a, you know, forcing a turnover there late just to try to help us try to get going, and ultimately weren't able to capture that. And like I said, you got to give Philadelphia a lot of credit. I do feel like this one's on me, and I told our team that you know, I'm going to work like crazy to make sure that this does not happen again.
Getting behind early, we probably had to throw a little more often than we would have liked and didn't stay as balanced as we'd like to be. And, you know, that's probably just more the nature of the way the game went. And you know, we certainly want to be balanced as best we can.
Kevin O'Connell and Kirk Cousins right after Jalen Hurts, and tale of two cities, a tale of two teams, a tale of two completely different performances. Philadelphia dominated the time of possession. The Eagles go 7 of 13 on third down, and get this, 7-plus yards per play. That's an average. The Eagles averaged better than 7 yards per play. They could essentially do whatever they want. So what the heck, Vikings? They beat the Packers handily in the season opener, but get manhandled in week number 2 on the road in Philadelphia. So we'll check with our Vikings insider and see what he has to say about it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Anywhere fans go to cheer on their team, there are behind-the-scenes MVPs ensuring everything is game day ready. We see you, Joe, fixing seats so every fan can enjoy every game. And Allie, who keeps her stadium running smoothly from the moment the first game starts to the last play of the season. At Grainger, you're our MVPs, and we're always here for you with supplies and solutions for every industry and 24/7 customer support. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Anywhere fans go to cheer on their team, there are behind-the-scenes MVPs ensuring everything is game day ready. We see you, Joe, fixing seats so every fan can enjoy every game. And Allie, who keeps her stadium running smoothly from the moment the first game starts to the last play of the season. At Grainger, you're our MVPs, and we're always here for you with supplies and solutions for every industry and 24/7 customer support. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Anywhere fans go to cheer on their team, there are behind-the-scenes MVPs ensuring everything is game day ready. We see you, Joe, fixing seats so every fan can enjoy every game. And Allie, who keeps her stadium running smoothly from the moment the first game starts to the last play of the season. At Grainger, you're our MVPs, and we're always here for you with supplies and solutions for every industry and 24/7 customer support. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.